Hi, SB New York. Hey, this is Pastor Sam. I'm speaking to you from my office here in Hong Kong. And our iMac in our sanctuary broke down, and so we're trying to fix that. So we're trying this. This is actually the first time I ever did a sermon like this. And so I hope it works out well. Sit back, relax, enjoy. Don't relax, focus, and enjoy. And I know that Chris and Amy have left. And you guys are now on your own. And so we're excited to see what God's going to do through you guys. And so Pastor Chris asked me to give a word to you guys since it's the first Sunday. And so I've been praying, and I really sense God speaking to me this particular passage. And so I'm going to teach on it and hopefully bring some clarity to what we believe God is doing with you guys. Okay, you guys ready? All right, so let's turn our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to 3, so I'm going to read it here. You guys follow along. Joshua 1, 1 to 3. Now it came about that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, today. We thank you for all of our friends there, God, in New York. We know that we're separated by distance, God, and even time lapse, God. This is Friday here in Hong Kong, Lord, and they'll hear this a few days later. But Lord, we know that your spirit, Lord, connects us all, God, and time is nothing to you, God. And so I pray that you would speak to us very clearly, God. Lord, God, right now I pray in that way that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in their room, God. That you give them a heart to receive, God, and a heart to draw near more to you in that way. Lord, speak to them corporately, individually, God, and that you just really do something in their heart, Lord. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. And we thank you, Lord. We love you, God, in New York, in Hong Kong, in Singapore, Beijing, soon Shanghai. And we love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. So the title of my message today is "Moses is Dead." And so I know it sounds like an interesting title, but really it's talking about the departure of key leadership, and that's basically what's happening to you guys, is key leadership that has departed. So if you draw this in conclusion, Moses is Chris and Amy, and they're not dead, but just for the sake and purpose of this message, they're no longer there. And so I talked to Chris, and he says okay, the title is fine. And so I hope this really speaks to you, but I've been praying. That's what God said. Moses is dead. And so I just went in and just started looking at some scriptures and came up with some stuff. So here are the first important words for you guys during this time is now. So it happens. He says, now. It came out after the death of Moses. And then later on, he tells them, he says, now, therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, go into your promised land in that way. And so, SP New York, your time is now. This is the moment that God has been waiting for. This is the moment for you to arise, for you guys as a church, as a community, to band together, to come to that place that God has in store for you guys. And so, Moses is dead. Chris and Amy have gone. They did a great job of nurturing, of shepherding, of loving, of leading. And now they moved on to the next phase of their life. You're not left alone, abandoned. But the beauty of it is, even though Moses is gone, Chris and Amy are gone, you are left alone. Now Ruth and Jess have taken over that leadership role. But God wants to remind all of us and all of you that you are not alone, that the Lord is with you. And so we see how this plays out. And so really for the rest of the sermon, I'm basically going to answer the big questions of who, what, when, and where, and to see how and where we can go from there. So simply, who? So who is this talking about here, but who is this applied to as I preach this message? And the who is you. The who is all of you guys that are there. That you're the one that's going to cross over. You're going to fulfill what Chris and Amy had started and the vision that God had put in their heart. You are going to fulfill that just like Joshua fulfills Moses' call in that regard. And so now finally the people of God are leaving or coming into the land that was promised to them. This was Joshua's moment of faith. And now you guys are in that same moment of faith. See, Joshua's generation needed more faith. In Moses' generation, whenever they wanted to cross the sea, all Moses did was raise his hands and he prayed, and next thing you know, bam, the sea was opened up and they got to walk on dry land. Notice in Joshua's time, though, before the sea is parted, Joshua needs to go into the water with the Ark of the Covenant. And in the water, then the sea parts. It's a little bit more faith. It's much easier to go into and walk through the sea when it's dry than actually walk to the sea when it's wet, when there's water there and God has to do a miracle while you're doing it. Brothers and sisters, God's doing a miracle while you're doing it right now. And we see there's a shift that occurs. And so in that shift, you guys need to step up. It's the who of it is you. Faith in this time gets stretched. What man calls adversity, God calls opportunity. And now you guys have an incredible opportunity to step in into this thing of faith. The Ark of the Lord, it really is crossing ahead of you. The present glory of God is with you. God's with you in this thing. And so you can do it. You might get a little bit wet, and that happens at times, but you can do it because God is with you. In that regard, in this time, we need to pray and fast to see the presence of God really release during this time. We need to see the presence of God go ahead of us. We need people to walk the land and proclaim that it belongs to God and claim it for God's kingdom. We need to come together. We all need to come together. We'll have a team coming out to you guys. I'll be there in May and in the summer. We have pastors from all the churches, which is really a great experience for all of us to fly in to New York and minister to you guys over weekends. And we're all quite excited for that during that time. And so, but it's imperative that we do this together. We can't do it on our own. You can't do it on your own. We can't do it remotely from here. We have to stick together as a team and accomplish this together. I don't know if you've ever read any of Malcolm Gladwell, but he's one of my favorite authors. I think I've read all of his books. And in Gladwell, he's got a book called Outliers, and you may have seen this before. And in Outliers, he tells this strange story of this man named Christopher Langen. He was a genius with a staggering IQ of 195. To give you some perspective, Einstein's IQ was 150. This guy's 195. Malcolm Gladwell says that he would go into school and he could ace foreign language exams simply by looking at the textbook for 2 or 3 minutes before the exam. I mean, that's how smart this guy was. He got a perfect score on his SAT. And even during that time, it says at one point he actually fell asleep during the SAT, but he still ended up getting a perfect score. But unfortunately, Langen failed to use his exceptional intellect, his exceptional gifts, and he basically ended up working on a horse farm in rural Missouri. Can you imagine a guy with 195 IQ basically works with horses? And so Gladwell made some conclusions about what happened to him after studying his life. And this is what he said. He said, Gladwell summarizes the story of Langen in one sentence. Langen had to make his way alone. And no one, not rock stars, not professional athletes, not software billionaires, not even geniuses, ever make it alone. According to Gladwell, Langen never had a community to help him to capitalize on his gifts. It's important that we're together. It's important that you're together. It's important that you stick together. It's important that you encourage each other. It's important that you pray for each other. It's important that you stick up for one another and defend each other and protect the house in that regard, because we're going to do this thing together. Again, remotely here from Hong Kong, but you guys also in the place where you're at there in New York. Ruth and Jess can't do it on their own. It really takes the concerted effort of all of us doing this thing together. And so I know pastors will be flying in regularly, but still, this will require that all of us, all of you, come together. And so please do. The who of it is you. God has something incredible in mind in store for you guys. Matthew 18, 19 and 20 says this, "Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together my name, there I am in their midst." There's something about agreement, there's something about people coming together, there's something about you guys doing this thing together, and when you do it together, God says that he would release things in heaven, release things in the Spirit. There'll be agreement in heaven over these things. So it's imperative. The who is you guys, not just one or two individuals, but you guys collectively to do this thing together. The second question that we ask is what? What do we need to do? Well, listen to the encouragement that God gave to Joshua in the midst of this time. The what of it is, what do you need to do? Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." What do you need to do? You just need to be strong and courageous. You need to keep doing what you were doing when Chris and Amy were there. You need to keep at it, keep going after those things that they inspired in your heart to go after. Keep praying, keep seeking the Lord, keep fasting, keep doing prayer walks around your city. Just keep at it, keep meeting together. But in the midst of that, be strong and courageous. Don't give up in that way. We just need to remember what Chris and Amy taught you guys and to keep at it. Remember all the teachings from this house at Solomon's Porch and keep at it and be strong and courageous. You can do it because God is with you guys. He's with you. He's walking with you. Joshua continues to say in the passage, the Lord says to Joshua, I should say, that it says, "Meditate on his word day and night. Let the word of God so richly fill your hearts and your lives that you meditate, that you think upon it, that you dwell on it day and night. Let it be his word that leads us. Let's cling to Jesus during this time to really lead us into this place until we can get a full-time solution down the road. But what do you need to do? You need to be strong and courageous. You need to follow the teachings, everything that Moses taught you, that Chris and Amy taught you. You need to continue in that line of thinking, in that line of thought, in that heart, and just keep going after it. That's what we need to do. Be strong and courageous. The when? Now. The time is right now. It's happening now. Now is the time. God tells the Israelites in verse 1 and verse 2, now. Now Moses is dead, now arise. And so it's so important for us to understand the urgency of what God is telling us to do right now in this place. It's so important. Faith is needed here because faith is for right now. And so God wants to fill you with faith right now. And I would say that now, brothers and sisters, is the opportunity of faith. If you've ever asked God and you said, "God, I want to have faith. God, make me more faithful." Or, "God, let me see an opportunity of faith," or whatever these things. Or you just simply said, "God, I want to grow in my faith." Well, God has given you the opportunity to grow in your faith right now. It is the moment, the opportunity of faith for every single one of us. Because see, when things are going well, and when Chris and Amy are there, and you've got the presence there, the leadership, it's easy to thank God. And that's what we should do. That's called praise. But faith is required when actually things are not going well, when Moses is dying, when Chris and Amy have left, and now you're on your own. This is the time for faith. And there's something so beautiful about faith But it takes these types of moments that happen in our life that bring faith out of us. It's a moment more than anything else. It's a moment. It's more than just wishful thinking or my own willpower. Faith is a moment. It's a decision moment that you guys make. And this is the moment where you are in right now. It's the now. This is the one that's happening right now. No wonder the Bible says that we only please God through faith. It's powerful. We only please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11. And so we keep that to heart. Let me tell you this great story. When Hudson Taylor was going to China, he made a voyage on a ship, obviously, back in those days. And as it neared the channel, what happened was it was between southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra. The missionary heard an urgent knock on his door in the lower cabin of his stateroom. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. And this is what he said. He says, "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind. We're drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear there are cannibals." And so Taylor said, "Well, what can I do?" And so the captain said, "I understand that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind." And so, I mean, can you imagine this crazy request? And so there wasn't even a slight breeze. And so Hudson Taylor responded, "Okay, all right, Captain, but you must set the sail." And the captain said, "Why, that's ridiculous. Why would I set this? I look like a fool in front of my men on this ship. There's not even the slightest breeze there." And he says, "Besides, the sailors will think I'm crazy." But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed to do this. 45 minutes later, he returned to Hudson Taylor's cabin, and he found the missionary still on his knees in prayer. And the captain said, "You can stop praying now, Mr. Taylor. We've got more wind than we can do with." See, it's a moment of faith. That's what it came down to this captain. He had to believe, do I put the sail up or do I not? I mean, I've already asked this man to pray, and so now he needs to have faith. This is a moment of faith for you all. This is a time for each and every one of you to step into this place. The time is now. It's now. So the last one, number four, the where. The where. Obviously, it's here in New York City. It's here in one of the most powerful cities of the world. And it's quite interesting how the Lord leads us into planting these churches in these major megalopolises. You guys know our first one was here in Hong Kong, and then in Beijing, and then in Singapore, and now in New York. And later this year in the summer, we'll be moving to Shanghai, or Pastor Ricky will be moving to Shanghai. And the start of work there. And it's just amazing how God has just supernaturally led us. It was, trust me, it was not by my design. In fact, most of the churches I didn't want to plant. It wasn't in my purview. But as I prayed, I could see it was God's will to do that. And now God has set our sights on New York City. And so the where of it is New York. And I say this, prosper where you're planted. Every single one of you. God will move powerfully. If you do that, you may not be in New York for the rest of your life. Who knows? You may be back in Hong Kong like Chris and Amy. You may end up in Singapore or in Chicago or LA or in London. I mean, who knows where God will have you. But in the time that God has you now, prosper where you're planted. Let God use you in that way. Don't be thinking and comparing your world, you know, Beijing or Singapore or Hong Kong. Don't make that mistake. You know, I made this fatal, I would say I made a $1 million mistake by doing that. When I first moved to Hong Kong with my wife, well, I actually had a house in Costa Mesa by the beach. It was a nice house. My first house, I bought it when I was like 28 years old. God had really blessed me in my profession, and so I was able to purchase a 3-bedroom home. And so we had it, but we sold it shortly after we moved to Hong Kong. We're going to actually kind of keep it, but we figured that, you know, having renters and all that, it was too much of a hassle. And so we ended up selling it, and I basically made a lot of money. And I bought at the lowest point of the market. I sold at the highest point of the market before the market crashed in the U.S. So, you know, praise God. So I had this sum of money, and you know, obviously I gave to the church, and I gave a bunch to my parents, which helped them to do some stuff they need to do for their retirement. And so I had some. And so Lisa and I were thinking, oh, maybe we should buy a home here in Hong Kong. We didn't know how long we were going to stay, but we thought, you know, why not? Let's go look around. And so we're looking around, and we found actually one that was really nice, a new development, Belchers. It's actually where Chris and Amy used to live when they were in Hong Kong before. And so, you know, very nice, clean. The apartment was roughly about actual square footage, maybe about 950, a decent size. But it was going for $1 million at the time. Remember, this is right after SARS. $1 million. And because I was thinking like an American, I wasn't prospering where I was planted. I wasn't thinking like a Hong Kong person. I was like, what? $1 million? Dude, I can buy a beachfront home in Newport Beach where I'm from for $1 million. And I said, no, forget it. This is crazy. That's the dumbest decision that I made in my life financially. I mean, made a lot of dumb decisions, but financially. And sure enough, man, within like a year, the place had doubled and then tripled, and now it's probably worth 4 or 5 times that amount. Maybe 3.5 times now. And I every time I think about that, I just want to shoot myself in the head. Just thinking, man, I mean, think about it. My children's future could be set right now. If I had simply not thought like an American, but thought like a Hong Kong person. And we do that a lot. You know, we compare, oh, it's dirtier here than it is in Hong Kong. It's not as convenient here as in this city. Oh, there's not as much sun as in... Cut it out. Quit complaining. God brought you to New York for this time, for this season. Prosper where you're planted. Start enjoying it. You know, when we're still focused on our past and focused on where we were, we never focus on and can't enjoy the present. No wonder it's called a present. It's God's gift to us, the present. And so enjoy New York. Enjoy what it has. Enjoy the beautiful city. Enjoy the root people. Just enjoy all these things that New York brings to us. The wear of it is in New York. Again, you may not be there forever, but for whatever period of time you are there, prosper where you're planted. Serve the Lord and serve this church with all of your heart. God brought you there for a purpose, and I believe one of that purpose is to be part of this group. And so serve the Lord, serve your house, the church, with all of your heart. In that way, take dominion. Walk around the neighborhood. Establish the presence of God. Speak for the kingdom of God in that neighborhood around that house that you're meeting at now in Brooklyn. I'm actually really excited to go visit you guys there as well soon. You know, make that a point. Take dominion. Because God says He'll give it to you. Again, this is the word. Verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you just as I spoke to Moses. And so when you walk around New York, when you're going to work, when you're going in the subway, or when you're at church and doing prayer walks around, wherever you're at, just start taking dominion. He says, I'll give you every place that your foot treads, every place your foot touches, the presence of God will be there. And you'll announce the kingdom of God has come to this place. How powerful. And when we do that, get ready to see remarkable things. Let me close with Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And this is actually when they actually do cross over. And this is what he says in verse 5. It says, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So he said, get ready, set yourself apart for this season of time, because God is going to do amazing things in your life. Brothers and sisters there in New York, I want to tell you, get ready, prepare yourself, set yourself apart in this season, in this hour, because God is going to do wonders around you. And I'm so excited to see what God's going to do through you guys. I'm pumped. I don't know if you could tell watching me on this video, but I'm pumped to see what God's going to do with you guys now that, Chris and Amy are gone, to see how you're going to rise up, to see the kind of people that God's going to add to your group, and to see God's kingdom come in New York City. It's so exciting. I can't wait to be with you guys. I'm so looking forward to it. And our prayers are with you. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about really committing and really stepping in and really being raised up for this season of now. You got to do it together. Amen. You got a bunch of people in Hong Kong and Singapore and Beijing, and even our Indonesian ministry Spin here in Hong Kong are rooting for you guys. And so let's fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we just thank you, God, for this time. We thank you for this Sunday. We pray, God, that you speak to us so clearly, God, so powerfully, Lord. God, and let the word of God sink deep in our hearts, Lord, and let it make a lasting change in our life, Lord. Lord, bless SP New York. Bless our leaders there, God. Use them, God. Lord, let there be more anointing, Lord, in their worship, God, in their leading, in their prayer, in their preaching. God, let the hand of Jesus flow through them in a powerful way, God. Every pastor and leader that visits, God, and preaches, let the anointing flow, God, and let that place, that home, be filled with the presence and glory of God. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you so much, God. And we love SP New York so much, Lord. Bless them, God. Thank you. We honor you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You probably want to have a prayer time, and I just want to encourage you, let the worship team come and just play along and just let the Holy Spirit just begin to move over you in that way, and let him speak to you about this message, about this now word for you guys, that I really feel like the Lord really gave me for you guys. And so just respond to the Holy Spirit in that way. And then so you can turn me off now, but let me do a benediction at the end. So have your prayer time, and then you can cut back to this later on. So let me just do a benediction. Lord, bless SP New York, God. We thank you for what you're doing here, Lord. Just bless them, God. Bless you. We love you so much, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day there in New York. All right, we'll see you guys soon. Bye.